Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, February the 12th, a very pretty, sunny, but a little chilly day here in North Texas, but they tell me it's going to warm up this week, so we should be in pretty good shape for this middle of February, a couple of days before Valentine's Day. Today, we're going to look at a couple of stories. Little Sister at the Olympics, that's been quite a story in itself. The Senate is going to begin the immigration debate this week. It should be very interesting. This whole thing with sexual harassment, I think it's gone too far in the sense that, you know, all that a woman has to do is accuse somebody, and the man is put in a position where he has to prove his innocence, which is, of course, not the way we do it in this country. You know, they have to prove that you're guilty. And I just find I find this troubling, what is happening, where you just accuse somebody. And that person has to, you know, has to then either resign or whatever. I just think it's going a little bit crazy. And we see a little bit of that in the White House at the moment. But we begin by looking back on this day in history, back to 1809. It was on this day that Abraham Lincoln was born. He was actually born in Kentucky, in what we now call Kentucky. I don't think it was a state at the time. I think it was a territory. And then his family moved to Illinois, where he spent much of his childhood, and that's where he became an attorney, eventually a member of the Illinois State Legislature, eventually a member of the U.S. Congress. Then he went back to practicing law. Somewhere in that timeline, he met his wife, Mary Todd. They were married. They had four children. And one of them passed away. One of them died, I think, when he was a baby. But the other three, Robert, went on to have a full life. Tab and Willie, the other two youngsters. Willie died in the White House, actually, in 1862. He died of, I think it was the high fever. And Tad, I'm not sure. He died young also. I think he was a teenager when he died. But anyway, he was quite a family man. In fact, there's a very interesting book that I mentioned in my blog today about Abraham Lincoln as a father. He was actually a very good father and spent a great deal of time with his sons, even though, of course, he had the terrible job of being president of the United States when he was, a job that pretty much consumed him. All you have to do is look at the paintings of when he became president and shortly before he was assassinated. But we remember Abraham Lincoln because I think in so many ways, I've always felt that there are two extremely important people in American history that were indispensable. I mean, we want to use the word indispensable very carefully when we're talking about a democracy or when we're talking about a country and the rule of law. So we want to be very careful when we say indispensable. But in the case of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, these two men were indeed very important to American history. George Washington being the what they like to call the father of the country, the man who got the whole thing going, the man who set the traditions, and also a man who, after two terms, said, "I'm out of here. I'm moving on." That, I think, was extremely consequential. There weren't that many men in 1797 or 1796, whenever it was that he retired. There weren't that many men who would walk away from power the way George Washington did, but he did. And that was, I think, essential to establishing the concept that we were a country of men, not a country of laws, in other words, not a country of men. So George Washington, obviously, stands out. But the other one has to be Abraham Lincoln, who really paid an awful price to keep the country together. And in many ways, he created, my friend Barry Castleman has written about this. He, in a sense, he created a lot of the modern political rhetoric. It's just remarkable what an influence Abraham Lincoln had. And he was obviously a very profound human being, also very funny, very humorous, and had a knack for saying exactly the right thing. He had a knack for telling stories. He had a knack for just saying the appropriate thing at the right moment. So we remember today Abraham Lincoln, who was born on this day in 1809. And I hope that we always remember Abraham Lincoln. I hope we always remember what he contributed to the American nation. I hope we never forget who Abraham Lincoln was and what he meant to the United States. So Abraham Lincoln, 1809, of course, he was assassinated in 1865. We're going to take a little break. I want to tell you about my good friend Carlos Geddes. If you're on Facebook, I'm going to recommend that you check him out. He's all over town, especially this week with Valentine's Day coming up. He's been over town playing at a lot of different places. And what Carlos does, is that he provides the background music. When you're having a nice dinner, a nice lunch, a little bit of wine, spaghetti, or whatever it may be, and you're having a wonderful dinner, in the background, you hear that harp. You hear that wonderful background music of Carlos Geddes. And he's all over town, so I'm going to recommend that you go to his Facebook page. It's a public page, so anybody can see it, and check out his schedule. And you're going to see where he's at just about every day of the week. A great guy, good guy, and someone who, of course, we're very happy that we get to play his music on our show. The intro, the background music, the ending music, it's all from his CD. And we're very delighted, just absolutely very proud of the fact that we can play that music. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I'm talking about Jim Messina. Jim Messina was a election consultant for President Obama in 2008 and 2012. And, you know, pretty prominent guy in his campaign. And he was being interviewed over at MSNBC. And they were talking about pollsters. And he said, you know what? I like to shoot the pollsters. And actually, it was pretty funny the way he said it, but it left me thinking, and that's what my post at the American Thinker is all about. It left me thinking, what if President Trump had said that? What if President-elect Trump, let's say, right after his election to the presidency, had said, you know, we should kill the pollsters. They got everything wrong. Or what if some other Republican had said that? I think the reaction would have been a lot different. The reaction to Messina was really no reaction. And I think the reaction to a Republican would have been a lot different. I think there would have been all kinds of calls for, you know, his apology and all kinds of segments over at CNN as to how he was contributing to the decay in the political rhetoric and all of that. You didn't hear any of that when Jim Messina made those remarks. So they were funny, but it's just amazing what a Democrat can get away with saying, isn't it? Compared to a Republican. Well, little sister at the Olympics. Look, I think this is unbelievable. This is the dictator's little sister, or older sister, I'm not sure, his sister. And she comes down to South Korea, and she's being greeted like, you know, this is like Princess Diana, this is Ivanka Trump. I mean, she's being greeted in such an outrageous way. I'm not going to fault this sister for everything that has been done by this family, because I'm sure, I'm sure she wasn't the one maybe pulling the trigger or sitting in the room when these decisions were being made. But she is part of the family, and for her to come down and the media to fall in love with her like this and treat her like, I say, you know, a North Korean Ivanka Trump or Princess Di or something like that, it's just ridiculous. I mean, of course she came down. Now, some people say she's down as part of a strategy because the North and the South want to get together. Look, I would love to see the North and the South get together. I would love to see a reconciliation. I would love to see peace in the Korean Peninsula for 100 years because, after all, nobody benefits from a war. A war in the Korean Peninsula is going to be deadly. It's going to be devastating, horrifying. I don't even want to think about how many people are going to get killed, but it could be, you know, I don't even know what to match it to, how bad it would be. So nobody wants that. So if the North and the South are really interested in talking to each other and resolving these differences, that's great. Do it. Get together. Do it. But it could also be part of a strategy to buy time. We saw this with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union from time to time would do a charm offensive. And they would go out to the West and send out somebody to the West. They would send ballet or something to Washington or the hockey team or whatever. And it was intended to be a charm offensive. That's what they used to call it. And for all I know, this is what North Korea is doing. We don't know. Again, we don't know. But for all I know, this could be part of a larger plan. So it's nice to see the little sister. She obviously looks good. She looks a heck of a lot better than most women in North Korea do. I'm sure she has never gone through the shortages and the difficulties that women in North Korea have to go through. So nice to see her. I hope she's having a good time at the Olympics. But my goodness, the way the media reacted to this is pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. She is, after all, a family member of a regime that has killed and tortured lots of its own people. And that has to be presented as well when we talk about this little charm offensive. Well, they're going to start debating immigration in the U.S. Senate. I think DACA, really. And they're going to be starting back and forth with this. Apparently, it's going to be wide open. From what I understand, the majority leader, McConnell, is just going to open it up and say, hey, everybody, put up whatever amendments you want to put up. Put up whatever bill you want to put up and just let it roll. I actually think that's pretty smart of Senator McConnell. I think it's pretty smart. Just let it roll. Let everybody present whatever they want to present. Have a lot of up and down votes, something that we very rarely see in the Senate anymore. But just have a lot of votes, have a lot of debates, have a lot of speeches back and forth. And let's have a debate about DACA. And let's see what the Democrats want to do. And let's see what the Republicans want to do. And then let's have votes and see what comes out. Again, they got to get 60 votes. And that's the difficulty. That's the problem with the Senate. You got to get 60 votes. And my guess is they're going to have a very hard time getting 60 votes unless the DACA bill looks a lot like what President Trump is presenting. That is DACA with certain conditions. That's the only thing I think that will make it. But we'll see where it stands. We'll keep an eye on it for the next few days. Apparently, it will go on for the rest of the week. So we'll keep an eye on this whole thing and see what's going to happen. Well, there's another accusation in the White House of sexual abuse or physical violence or whatever against a wife. And look, I'm obviously the first one to criticize that, but this whole movement, I think, has gone a little bit too fast and a bit too crazy. And we're accusing people, and these people never have a chance to defend themselves. I just think that's bad. That's bad for the country. If a man is accused of anything by a woman, I think that man should have the opportunity to defend himself. And that's all I believe that President Trump was saying. Well, he was not defending, obviously, what this man allegedly did, but he was simply saying, hey, let's not destroy people because somebody accuses that person of this or that. It's interesting because there is a Democrat senator in Delaware who publicly admitted that he hit his ex-wife and even gave her a black eye. But, of course, nobody's calling for him to resign, which I find very interesting, which is a big part of the problem of this whole movement that has become very politicized. And it's really nothing more than another movement to go after Trump. And that's why this is why I don't think this movement is gaining a lot of credibility or a lot of political power, because I think a lot of women see it as nothing but a political movement. On this day in 1924, Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin made its debut, one of my all-time favorite American songs. And today, Mr. and Mrs. Obama showed up in Washington for their official portraits. And I have to tell you, the one of President Obama that I saw looks a lot like him. The one of Mrs. Obama doesn't look like her at all. I mean, I don't think they did any justice in that painting, but what do I know? I'm just a partisan Republican. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.